Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. This is Dusty White, author of The Easiest Way to Learn a Tarot Ever. Thank you for supporting this free podcast. Today we are joined by Diana, one of my mentees for the new deck. Diana, how are you doing today?
Good. Hi everybody.
Yay. So Diana's really good at tarot and she's learning the new deck, which is super secret. So we're just going to sit here and yap. Julie in Australia asked about reading for yourself, and that's a very good question. Thank you, Julie. So I wanted to sit down and spend about half an hour with it. We're going to cover how to do it, some of the superstitions that people write are just crap. We got to get past that. How to ask questions, what questions to ask, how to interpret cards for yourself. We're going to get into the whole thing, so we're just going to jump right in. Diana, do you prefer, speaking personally, do you like reading for yourself or for other people, or do you really care? Does it matter which way?
Well, actually, I don't mind reading for myself, except that reading for myself, I know myself better than anybody else, and I do seem to sugarcoat everything a little.
That's a good point. I'm so glad you brought that up. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not staged. I'm stunned. It looks like I picked the right person as a guest. That is exactly the problem with reading for yourself. And that is why a lot of authors admonish you not to read for yourself, because they don't want you to sugarcoat it. And it really is the heart of the issue. So, I mean, we're just going to jump off the deep end where the sharks are and just start punching sharks in the nose. Specifically, cards are, and you'll hear me say this again and again, cards are nothing more than a language that the gods use to speak to you. We are asking a question. We are using the cards to answer it. The cards in themselves are just pieces of paper. They have no more magical ability than a wine grape. Now, if you know anything about magic wine or grapes, you know that's a loaded statement that I just made. But nonetheless, they are images on paper. Their job is to stimulate your subconscious mind to trigger certain thoughts, just like a Rorschach test. What are you looking at? Oh, okay, this is what I'm looking at, whatever. The tarot cards are much more complex than that, and the theory behind it, and the theory seems to work pretty well so far, at least for all of us, is we ask a question, the gods answer by providing cards that stimulate their thoughts that give us the answer to that question when combined with our knowledge of the tarot, an open mind, and situation.
Oh, perfect, perfect.
Never mind the little dog in the back. That's Toto. You know, it's like a little dog, Toto. What we're getting at here specifically today is when we're reading for ourselves, Diana brought up a good point. She knows herself better than anyone. And I think I want to talk about that first. So, Diana, when you're reading for yourself, as you said, you know yourself better than anybody else. So you don't have the problem of trying to figure out what your client is actually asking.
No, not really. Because once I do the spread, while I'm shuffling and talking and asking questions, usually the client answers a lot. So it's an open communication going on.
Right, that's ideally the way we like to work, and I want to emphasize that again. And you'll hear me harp on this. When you're reading, never read blindly. Talk to your client. Just like Diana said, you're shuffling. It's an open communication. Just make it natural, but get them to talk to you. Get them to open up psychically to you, because otherwise you're reading for a wall. And when you're reading for a wall, you're making it harder on yourself, because the cards don't have set meanings. I only have a set meaning. I cannot mean anything else. It's very robotic. It doesn't work that way. It gives you crappy answers. The cards must live and breathe, and they must have some variability and some wiggle room, because we've only got 78 words to describe everything in reality, which is why we talk about card blending and whatnot. So, as Diana said, get the client talking. With yourself, though, Diana, you know much more about yourself. I mean, you know your situation. You know what it is that you want to know. You don't have to translate that from someone else.
Yes. Okay. Because you ask the question you want to know, and you already know the question you want to ask, so...
Yeah, it sounds obvious at first, but when we sit down to do it, it's a totally different psyche. It's a totally different psychological event. All of a sudden, we're here in front of us. This is why I designed Exercise 2 in the book, Easiest Way to Learn Tarot Ever, and it is on page... That was a plug, by the way. If you don't have it, you really should get it. Page 19, if you want to just cheat and look on Amazon and read it for free. Page 20, page 21. It's all right there. It's called This Happens to Me, This Happens to You. So here's a... Diana, we're going to go through a little This Happens to Me, This Happens to You. So you got your deck handy, right?
Yep.
Okay, so folks at home, as you're listening, you can play along or you can listen in. Here's why we have exercise two. It's called Objective versus Subjective. If something's happening to somebody else, big deal. It's not my problem. If something's happening to me, holy crap, it better not be a bad card. This is just normal survival modes in psychology. We all have to face this demon when we read for ourselves. So how do we read for ourselves? We learn to desensitize ourselves. This is first and foremost before we ever start reading for ourselves. We desensitize ourselves to good news or bad news. It's a weather forecast on another planet. We try to emotionally detach ourselves from the outcome. And then we take the knowledge that being forewarned is forearmed. So, Diana, I'm going to say what happens to you. And when you pull a card, you're going to tell what happens to me. So this way, we're both going to be objective.
Okay.
I don't mean to be rude by saying I don't care what happens to you, but what happens to you, as much as I may care for you as a person, means a lot less than what's going to happen to me. Again, we're talking a very survivalistic mentality, but I want to drill this in so that, you know, people at home have this. They don't ever have to worry about it again. By the end of this podcast, they can all read for themselves. So, this is an example of us reading for each other. Okay, Diana, I've got for you the Ten of Coins. This is all generic meaning. So I get to make up the rules. That's the beautiful thing when you're doing a generic reading is you just make up the whatever situation as long as it fits the card. In my case, I'm going to say you're in this card. You're visiting your father who is very rich and he wants you to live at his house over the summer because he misses you. So it looks like you're going to spend the summer at a nice estate. I'm already jealous. So this happens to you. So reciprocal, what happens to me?
Okay, let's see. I'm going to pick Eight of Cups.
Okay.
You're going to go, your lover just left you, and
Oh, well, okay, you know, good news, bad news, right?
We're about to, and you have a lot of pent-up emotions you have, and you need to clear your head, so you're just going out. You're just gonna go out for a walk. You're gonna, or like some vacation.
Very long walk. Screw that one.
Very long walk. Or like little vacation, and just be with yourself and clear your head and level up.
Absolutely, I like that. Okay, so again, folks at home, there we go. We're just picking up cards. We're saying this happens to me. This happens to you. We're going to do it a couple more times. Diana, you keep getting the good cards. What is with this? Six of Wands. They're going to hold a parade in your honor. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to tie this into the first card. So first your dad says, come live in my mansion. And then you get there and they throw a parade in your honor. Hell, he sends a limousine for you.
So, well, I like that.
Yeah, well, la la la. Okay, what happens to me?
Ooh, okay, I got three of pentacles.
Oh, well, that's better. That's better than death.
I love death card.
Okay, tell me about the three of pentacles. What happens to me?
Okay. You're gonna... come to... you're gonna meet some people who's gonna help you a lot. They will probably even let you stay in their house. You might have to pay a little bit for that.
Cheap rent.
But trying to tie the two together on your getaway, some nice people will let you stay with them. There we go.
Excellent. There you go. It's real simple. We're not complicating this because it's just practice. We're just having fun with the cards. Okay, last one for me. Diana, this happens to you. Nine of Cups. It's the wish card. Congratulations, you get your wish. You live happily ever after. The end. Like I said, I'm officially jealous. Okay, so last card from you. What happens to me?
Let's go with Three of Cups.
Oh, I like that.
After you got your head cleared and after you stayed with those nice people, you went back and your loved one decided that she wants to come back and everybody lived happily ever after.
The end. Okay, so it's very easy to look at someone and say, this happens to you. Now, if it's bad news, we may not want to tell them. If it's good news, we may want to overblow it. Again, practice just being very deadpan. This happens to you. And the whole point of exercise, too, is you just go through the deck over and over and over. Specifically with your practice deck, which is the Minor Arcana. And you just get used to telling people good news, bad news, boring news, happy news, exciting news, interesting news. It's all grist for the mill. But this is half of this happens to me, this happens to you. So we broke it into two parts. Now the other part in exercise two is this happens to me. Now all of a sudden we're subjective. Now Diana and I are going to pull cards for ourselves. And Diana, I don't want you to cheat. I want you to pull random cards, just like I'm going to. And whatever card comes up, that's what happens to us. If it's good news, I don't want us to get too excited. If it's bad news, I want us to shrug our shoulders. This is training on how to read for ourselves. This allows us to be more realistic with what the cards say and avoid that temptation to sugarcoat things. This is the first step in reading for ourselves, but it's not the only step. So, you know, take notes and follow along at home. And you know what? You can do this yourself. You can just pick a card. So I'm going to cut the deck in half and I get the King of Pentacles. Woohoo! I am rich. And I'm staying with that. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Your turn, Diana.
Well, I got Five of Swords.
Uh-huh. So, see, that's a good question. And I'm so glad the kids at home are listening. At this point, because it's just a generic reading, you could either be the Five of Swords or the Five of Swords could be happening to you. Now, in practice, choose your favorite. It doesn't really matter. So one, she's the bully. One, she's getting picked on. Diana, what do you feel like?
Well, I feel like there was some arguing with some friends, and I'm just picking up my leftovers and getting ready to leave.
So do you feel that you won the conflict, or that you're the one that got picked on?
I think I won the conflict.
Okay, great. So in this case, Diana is the Five of Swords. She's the aggressor. Two of Cups. Woohoo! Hot date. Well, I don't have time for this. Diana, I'll hand the show over to Diana. I'm going to go find out where my hacker is. Your turn, Diana.
Okay, I got 5 of Wands.
More conflict.
More conflict. I'm having some conflict with my neighbors.
Okay. Again, not exactly the happiest card, but we just take it in stride. And, you know, life is full of pleasant and unpleasant experiences, pleasant and unpleasant being psychological aspects of, are they conducive to our happiness and our well-being, or are they antithetical? You know, are they anti-us? And so, knowing that in advance, the cards just tell us what is happening. And they're only accurate if we're accurate. So we don't have to worry about, oh God, you know, the card comes up. I want to get through this, and I want to see if we can find a really couple of grueling cards. Because we're taking it at random, we have no idea what's coming up. I got the 6 of Wands. We already covered that, so I'm going to refuse that card. And I get the, oh, ow, see? I got the 6 of Wands, and I said, I'm going to take the 6 of Wands. And so the deck goes, oh, yeah, well, here's the 3 of Swords, you damn hippie. So this happens to me, 3 of Swords, wow. Oh, you know what? I go to medical school, or I have open heart surgery, or let's just go with the obvious. It sucks to be me. I'm very depressed and unhappy because I'm old and crusty. Yeah, I like that one the best. So, see, here's an example of bad news. But that's okay, because I had good news here a moment ago. I mean, I had a hot date. Oh, the hot date didn't go well. Guess well, no, did it?
How about like
look at this and not sugarcoat it. Yes, Diana.
How about, like, a warning that you might have heart problems if you will keep eating like you are?
Absolutely. Again, and here we go back to rule number one. Know the situation of the client, and you, again, you're your best client. If you know that you're not eating well, and you ask, how is my health going to go? And you get the 3 of Swords. You have a situation. You know the question that you've asked. The card answers the question that you asked. It doesn't just come up and mean something generic. So once again, here's a real life example. Thank you, Diana, for pointing that out. Is if you know that you're asking about a specific thing and you know the question that you are asking the cards, then all you have to do is look at the card as it relates to the question you've asked. You don't have to look at the 5,000 different meanings it may have. When we're doing generic exercises like this, it's a different set of rules. Cards can mean whatever we want. Or we can assign a scenario and then do the same thing. Matter of fact, we might do that in a moment. Diana, one more. This happens to you, just generically, please.
Wheel of Fortune.
Oh. You're on a game show.
Well,
I want a trip.
This one, you have some business deal, and you're not really sure how it's going to go, so you're kind of hoping that it's going to go the right way, so I guess you would need to pull another card to go with that.
This is one interpretation of the Wheel of Fortune, people at home, and I stand by Diana because this is her reading, but I don't want you to take it as gospel. Sure, let's pull another card to see what's going to happen.
Page of Swords.
And to you that means?
In order for you to get that business deal going, you might need to put some effort into it, put little fight.
Yes, think you might need to speak your mind, stand up for your cause.
Something like that.
Something like that, okay. I can live with something like that. All right, so now we're going to change this up a bit. We're still doing me, this happens to me, this happens to you, although specifically we're just doing the this happens to me part because we're talking about how to read for yourself very clearly. Just a couple of things real quick. We're going to, I'm just going to do a couple more cards. But this case, and Diana, please listen carefully, We're going to invent a situation. A little echo there. So we're going to invent a situation. Can you please cut that, Diana, please?
Thank you. What?
Get an echo. Okay. So we're going to invent a situation. I think I said that three times now. It makes it true, right? You can keep repeating it. And then we're going to apply a card to it. So I'm going on that hot date. Okay, so I'm going on a hot date, and I get the Emperor. This happens to me. Her dad does not like me. See, the Emperor could be anything, but if I know I'm going on a hot date, the Emperor's really like stern father and authority figure and very judgmental. So I chose like, wow, it was an easy association. All right. Diana, your turn. Make up a quick little situation and draw a card to that situation, please.
I have a test that I need to pass, and I'm not sure how it's going to go.
Okay, very good.
And I got Four of Cups.
Well, what do you think?
I think I need to study some more in order to pass that test, or at least take a helping hand. Ask somebody for some help.
Yeah. Another option, I do not recommend you tell other people how to read their cards, but you can always say, hey, this is what it means to me. And again, that's a nice way of saying, I'm not stepping on your toes, I'm just saying this is what it means to me. Okay, what this means to me, just, you know, again, stepping on your toes, which is what I just said you're not supposed to do. You could be, and I like your answer, but you could be waiting a long time to find those test results. You know, you could be like, but I like what you said about having to study more. Okay, I need a situation. What do I do about my annoying cat? It keeps wanting in and out, and always interrupting everything I'm doing. Queen of Pentacles. And Queen of Pentacles has a bunny. Queen of Pentacles is staring at her coin, and the bunny is just running around. I'm going to change that bunny into a cat. I think I need to install a cat door so the cat can go in and out and not interrupt me. This is a situation where sometimes the image on the card will tell us more than the traditional meaning of the card. In this case, there was a picture of a rabbit. You know, that jumped out at me. Allow your mind to do this. It makes it a lot easier, especially reading for yourself. Okay, Diana, same thing, please.
We'll go with the same thing. What did I do about my yapping little dog? Already changed the room. Okay, I got Four of Wands. For me, this answer would be exactly what I just did. Go into another room and close the door.
That works. You know, I can live with that. All right, so these are just examples, thank you, Diana, of how to read objectively for yourself. The exercise to me, this happens to me, this happens to you, is all about practicing delivering good news, bad news, no news to other people, and then doing the same for yourself. It's all about desensitizing yourself. This is great for removing superstitions. There are so many damn superstitions that have rolled themselves up with the tarot that it makes it impossible or near impossible for people to read intelligently. Because, you know, you can't charge money to read the tarot. You have to cut with your left hand. You're not allowed to buy your first tarot deck. Don't ever read for yourself. Oh, the tarot is not made for reading. It's made as a meditation tool. There's all these different views that are really the opinion of one person. And that one person wants to get out and tell you how to live. I don't buy that. And it is, by the way, let me get jingoistic here. This is fucking America. And apologize to people in Australia. The point is that we don't like people running around. We don't like the idea of one person coming around telling us how to live. So my attitude on the tarot is anybody tells you, you must read the tarot this way. I want you to punch them in the nose. And I hope to God I never tell anybody to read the tarot this way because it's told me to punch me in the nose. You have to read how you have to read, and I'm hoping that you'll read as free from superstition and I like my nose. And myth and lies, you know, read as free of that as possible. I try to give you clear-cut boundaries of what works, what's easy, what you will find effectual. But ultimately, it's up to you to decide what you're going to do. Now, let's see. Do that. That will help desensitize you to good news or bad news. Now, also, how to read for yourself. Quite simply, the basic formula is to know specifically what you are asking about. If you want to know everything, make a list. You know, like Santa's list, check one at a time. You know, I'm only reading, I'm only asking about this, and do a spread. And it could be a 3-card spread or a 10-card spread or anything like that. I'd rather you do that than just flip cards. Well, what about this? What about this? What about this? Take your time when you read for yourself as if you were reading for a client who's paying you $1,000 an hour. You want to get this exactly right. Whether it's good news or bad news, doesn't matter. The whole point of reading the tarot is we're looking for advanced information. Advanced information. There's no D at the end. We want to know ahead of time. If we know ahead of time, we can change course and do something else. Or we can alter the events of the future. That's the whole point of divination. Divination is not fatalistic. It's astrology, tarot, these are not designed to say, this is going to happen and you can't do anything about it. Anybody who tells you that it is, I want you to again punch them in the nose because I advocate violence. How to ask questions. I want to cover this because it's easy to, you know, I've got my cards in my hands right now. It's like, I'm just going to think about something. Okay, about lunch tomorrow, and I got the deck, and I got the Two of Cups. Well, of course, see, that's good news because it's Two of Cups, right? It's like the Lovers, like that's good news. Like, oh, look, I'm going to meet somebody. Not necessarily. Two of Cups may be I should invite somebody over and fix something for them. Or it could be that somebody will make food for me or that I should go out and eat because you're like a waitress or a waiter is handing me food. It could be that I'm going to get indigestion because I got the, you know, the pharmaceutical aspect. The point of all this is that we want to specify what we want to know rather than just blindly pulling cards when we're reading for ourselves. Because the more we are vague when we are reading for ourselves, the more our subconscious mind will try and push us and say, oh, well, this could mean this, and this could mean that, and we'll be led around by our desires. We don't want that. We want nice, simple, factual things. The easiest way to do that is very Virgo. This is what I want. Here's my question. How's it going to be? And we just relax and let the energy flow. Dinah, what are your thoughts on this, since I'm doing all the yapping?
I like that.
Thank you. That works. See, it's nice, short, and sweet. She's a very, very quiet woman, very succinct. It isn't hard to do, but it's hard to remember when we're reading for ourselves. And we do need someone to sit down and tell us, look, when you're going to read for yourself, be very specific. Because it's not something we normally think about. We trust our intuition. We figure, hey, we know what we're doing. We'll just crack the deck open and see what it says. And that's not bad, but I'm going to crack the deck open right now. I got the Ace of Wands. That doesn't mean anything because I haven't asked a question. I can ask Diana, what's the Ace of Wands mean? She can tell me all kinds of stuff. But does that specifically apply to me? Is that going to be accurate? Who can say?
I guess no, because you haven't asked the question.
Right. But if I asked Diana a question specifically, and she drew the Ace of Wands, now we have a different situation. It's the same thing. We just cracked the deck and pulled an Ace of Wands. But in one case, I gave her something to work with. Or, in my case, I would have given myself something to work with. So, first off, objective versus subjective, you know, desensitize yourself. Learn how to ask questions. Write them down. Don't try to ask everything at once. How to interpret your card, the cards for yourself. You know what? Just like you would for anybody else. But realize that the question you ask, and I'm going back to this, the question you ask determines the time frame that you're dealing with. And, you know, for, let's tell you what, Diana, I'm going to have you ask a that'll be an interesting question. I want you to ask a question of the tarot about yourself, but I don't want it to be too invasive or too personal to share with the world. So, because I think it's time for an example.
Okay, I just applied for a license. When am I going to get it?
Okay, one second. So, again, Diana knows what she's asking. She knows her situation. We say, apply license for what? Well, she knows.
Business license.
Right, okay. And she wants to know when she's going to get it. You can ask yourself this kind of question if inside your brain you know more facts than the words that she's used. But I want you to have those facts in hand. So that the answer, because you may get a skewed answer, we're going to find out in a moment, and rather than having to scramble and make up things, the more information we know, the easier it is to apply this accurately. Okay, back to you, Diana. Sorry for the
question. Well, I got Eight of Pentacles.
Eight of Pentacles, what's the image for the folks at home? Please tell me what you're looking at on the card.
It's the guy sitting at the workbench and engraving the pentacles into...
So he's kind of sitting by himself, and he seems pretty happy, and he's just...
He's working.
So he's banging these out, one right after the other.
Yep.
Okay, so in reference to your question, because you know the situation best, and you're the reader... So I can't help you on this. I mean, I can give you all kinds of stuff, but that doesn't mean it's going to apply to you. So what does this card mean to you? You know, obviously answering to your question.
Well, it means I have to work at it, but I already filled out the paper, so I'm just waiting for stuff to come back. So I would read it as a date.
You would read it as a date.
Eight days.
Oh, 8 days. Okay, so in this case... Diana has chosen to use the numerological value of the cards, being the Eight of Coins. I like that. I'm not going to give you my impression, because my impression doesn't mean anything as much as I want to. So this is good. Diana has read for herself objectively. Okay, I want to see if I can get something bad, because I want to see if I can give myself some bad news so I can show how you would deal with this. Ooh, here's a... Okay, might piss off a few people here. I'm sorry if anybody has terminal cancer. This is not in any way offending you or trying to offend you. I'm going to ask, do I have cancer? I get the card that says Knight of Pentacles. To me, that would say that even if I do, it's in remission. Because the Knight of Pentacles is slow, it's stopped. Here's what I like about the Knights. We're going to take a little side trip. Knight of Swords, rushing through. Just look at it. He's reckless. Knight of Wands, he's not really moving, but he's like, let's go. He's got his horse reared up, which is what you do when you say, follow me, everybody. So he's about ready to go. Then you have the Knight of Cups. And he's holding his horse in, reined in very tight. And the horse is not happy because his little ears are flat back. But the horse is moving along slowly. And then you got the Knight of Pentacles. He's at a dead stop. He's holding up his coin and saying, hey, you want some of this? You want some of this? You come to me. He's not doing anything. So, as an example, Knight of Pentacles, dead stop. Knight of Coins. I mean, Knight of Cups. Boy, look at me. Moving very slowly. Knight of Swords, full speed ahead. And then Knight of Wands could be either I'm about ready to go, or I'm rallying the troops, or, you know, just grandstanding, making sure everybody sees I'm about to do something. So, side note, in this case, I think I dodged a bullet, and I apologize to anybody who's not feeling well, especially if you have cancer. But I prepared myself to get bad news, and basically I just got a dumb question. You need to psychologically prepare yourself that if you ask a question, the answer is going to come out. Diana, sugarcoating. What would be your personal psychic defense against sugarcoating too much now that we've gotten this far?
Well, the first notion would be to sugarcoat it, because you're doing it for yourself and you want things to come out nice.
So that's fair. We acknowledge that the impulse, it does arise.
But then when you start reading the cards and you sit down and think back, you're actually asking the cards to get an objective answer. So you have to take kind of good with the bad. So you can't really try to sugarcoat something, because you're going to get sugarcoated answers.
Right. And just because we get the answer we hope for, which sometimes is worse than getting the, you know, the answer we don't want, or we get the answer that we really don't. In other words, extreme cards. We get the lovers. Woo, yay. We get the ace of coins. Yay, lottery. Yeah. We get the devil, the tower. Ah, oh my God, scary. Just because we get a card doesn't mean it's the end of the world. And if it is the end of the world, that means it's time to change, because there's something else coming. Sometimes we have to get kicked out of the house so that our rich uncle can adopt us to go live in Bel Air. Or, you know, I gotta stop watching the 70s TV shows. The issue is that cards will come up, and we deal with extreme cards by narrowing the focus of what we're asking. And if we see something we don't like and it looks realistic, we work it into our plan, and we try to create variables in reality of like, okay, if it looks like this is going to happen, let's make an insurance plan. If that happens, we have time to do this or that. That keeps us sane and healthy, and it makes it easier to read for ourselves. By the way, just before I forget, if this hasn't answered your question, Julie or anyone else, email me@dustywhite.net. We'll take it up again, and we'll do it again and again until we have to. I mean, until we do it, right?
Dusty?
Yes, ma'am.
How about pulling the card for yourself one a day type of deals?
Now, that's a good question. We only got a few minutes here. People like the, you know, pull a card a day thing. I'm not a fan of that, because I'm such a control freak about my life. I like to say, I'm going to do this with my day. Some people prefer to say, what's going to happen to me today? Now, if you're going to pull a card a day and say, what's going to happen to me today, you may get in the habit of you find what you're looking for. I forgot what that's called, but this is a syndrome or a problem or a process of where if you look for something, you will find it. So I wouldn't want you to get too superstitious about that. And also, if you pull the death card or the tower or the devil or the chariot reversed, you know, if somebody says like accident, are you going to get fired or something like that? I don't want you to walk around on edge. I would rather you do that. This happens to me, this happens to you exercise, where it's all practice and you know it's practice. And the devil card comes up and you go, wow, my boss is a jerk. The death card, oh, wow, I died. Big deal. Or the death card, oh, well, it's time for me to start something new. Everything I know is gone, and you know, I'm off to a new life. Boy, that was painful. The moon, I developed an alcohol addiction. All of these things are just made up, but they desensitize you so that if you do get in the habit of a card a day, which, you know, you can do it if you like. I'm not going to say you shouldn't. I just don't want you to be dependent on good cards, meaning absolutely good things are going to happen, or bad cards scaring the hell out of you. You need to be detached from it and watch it happen. Plan for it, or plan for the best, and if you do see that a bad card is coming true, get the hell out of the way. It's like, oh, look, it's a train. We'll get off the track. Or unless you're trying to catch the train, you're like, yeah, wait for me. All right, I'm going to wrap this up because I have a lesson here in about 4 minutes. A thank you all for being here. If you have not signed up, and a lot of you haven't, for the free lessons, go to easytarotlessons.com and sign up at the very top of any page. I need your first name and your email address. There's nothing to buy. There's no spam. But you will learn, and you'll get a whole bunch of freebies. Otherwise, thank you for listening. Diana, any last thoughts before I chase you out of here?
I think I'm good. Thank you.
I thank you very much for taking the time to sit down with me. And again, everybody at home, thanks. Any questions, email me.
It was very helpful. Thank you.
Fingers crossed. Thanks. Bye.